verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so in these verses now, again, we will deal with a subject that has been touched on in previous studies in 2 Corinthians. And I remind you that Paul's apostleship has been put in question by some that have come by. It's not anything new then, I don't suppose. It's not anything new today for somebody to question somebody's authority. A friend of mine is in a church of a different persuasion denomination, and yet we believe he's a brother in Christ. And he was telling me the other day that a lady finally figured it out. She got the message from the Lord, and she came over and told him that none of the leadership in the church was hearing the mind of God at all. She came over to straighten them out. Tell them what the Lord had to say. And I could appreciate that. There are those that will always cast question upon the ministry, the authority of the ministry, and in Paul's case, he is not exempt from criticism nor accusation. And there were those that came by and said, this fellow Paul, he's just really not an apostle. He's really not what he is presented to be. He writes sometimes real strong letters, but he doesn't preach very good. On and on the story goes, and here Paul will address this issue again. Since the matter has been raised, he will answer them. I'll point out that it was not an uncommon thing for people in that day. The policy of the day was really to carry letters of commendation. And you find that back in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 27. That today, usually, if we want to find out about somebody, we can get on a telephone and call some preacher, or we can run the references on somebody rather quickly if we're determined to do that. But keeping in mind the day in which Paul lived, of course, even the letters were somewhat restrictive and slow in the process, and if they were carried by the mail of the day. So the men would carry letters of commendation. Now, we still carry out that policy. Whenever we license a young man to preach, basically we're giving him a letter of commendation. When our church will reach an agreement, and our secretary then will type out a letter, and the pastor, along with some of the men of the church, will sign that letter that we are authorizing him to preach the gospel, that we're giving him that letter of licensing, that we recognize a call in his life. We're not yet ready to ordain him, but we want folks to know that there is a surrender in his life and that we believe that he has the capacity and the capability of doing a good job preaching. That's basically what we're saying. Whenever we give a letter of licensing, we give a certificate of ordination that we believe that he's fitted for the gospel ministry. And we send for church letters today. Oftentimes I'm asked, why do we send and receive letters? And by the way, Sharon, if you'll remind me afterward, I've got some letters that you need to have. But we'll write another church and we'll receive a letter of recommendation from that church. And usually it'll state that they are a member in either good standing or regular standing. And I don't know what regular means, but we hope they're in good standing, especially with the Lord. And if they're in good standing with the Lord, then likely they're going to be a good church member. But letters were a common thing of that day, and it was not uncommon for a man to carry the letter so that he would be recommended by somebody likely that would be known to the gospel ministry when he went into a particular area where he was unknown. And Paul now will deal with the subject. He said, do we need to have letters as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Do we really need this? And he'll point out something here that I think is very elementary, yet it is true that he had no letter of commendation to present to them. He did not have one from them. He just simply points out that they themselves are our epistle. You are our epistle in verse 2, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, the truth of the matter is, it is very difficult to denounce success. And the Corinthian church is an evidence of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, he will not take credit for the falling away and the dissension and the strife that is there. This has occurred since he was there, but the very existence of that church and those folks as believers are a recommendation of the Apostle Paul. And again, I point out the best recommendation is success in the ministry and the souls of men as they have been saved by the grace of God. And certainly Paul points out that he did not have any letters to present to them from anybody else, and he did not have one from them, but he said, you yourselves literally are the epistle, known and read of all men. I am thankful that there is a recommendation of this church in certain areas. It's kind of surprising, but when Donald called the Arlington Baptist College the other day, the lady answered the phone and said, oh yeah, I know that church. Well, that's a recommendation. That's a commendation. And he'll be accepted because of the association that he has with this place and this people. And Paul is simply saying the same thing here to the Corinthian church. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, first of all, known and read of all men. And that indicates the sincere desire and the love that Paul has for this people. There are times in, I suppose, every preacher's life that he just gets totally out of snuff and he gets put out and just wants to give up. He's angry at everybody, but Paul loved this people. And they were not really lovely at the time that he wrote the first epistle especially. But he still, even in the seriousness of the tenor of that letter, it indicates that he loved them enough to do his best to correct that church. And Paul would say to them, every time somebody comes by and they see you, it recommends my ministry. An epistle known and read of all men. Now, Paul again had no letters from the apostles of the church at Jerusalem. He, remember, closed out chapter 2 with the sincerity that he had in the presentation of the word of God in verse 17. Said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. He points out that the purpose of his ministry, the very crux of his ministry, is honesty, that he wanted to handle the word of God correctly and appropriately, and to reach the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And he's done that, and this is his recommendation. And he has an honesty in handling the word, sincerity in his purpose. Now, I would today that were true of all that stand, but it's not really true of most, to tell you the truth about it. Most of them don't handle the word of God honestly, and they don't preach it in sincerity. We, on Sunday morning, we were going down the highway before we stopped at the little church that we visited with. We were listening to some fella, and he was certainly going to present the truth that you were not saved by grace alone. Well, that struck an interest at me to see what he had to say. And the way he handled the Word of God was not honest. He took a passage out of the book of Acts chapter 2, and he used the first two verses of, I mean, two words of the verse, but he left the main issue of the verse out. He said, it says, save yourselves. Well, it does if you take it out of context and you handle it dishonesty. But what Peter was saying was, save yourself from this untoward generation, or from this wayward generation that has refused and rejected Jesus Christ. Not just saying save yourself, but he's saying save yourself from the condemnation of this generation. And we could say the same thing to men and be honest today. Save yourself from this untoward generation. But we dare not just stand and say, save yourself. We must present the truth about Jesus Christ, that his death was certainly needful and adequate, and he is capable of saving today. And we dare not tell folks to save themselves. So Paul had honestly handled the Word of God correctly, and he was sincere in his purpose. He wanted to reach men with that. Now, I question a lot of the sincerity of preachers. I appreciate Dr. George Norris. He's dead, home of the Lord now. And he explained to us in one of the classes, theological classes, he said, now you're going to think I'm making you extremely critical. And he said, I am. But he said, as I make you critical, he said, you'll find that you'll be critical of your own message and you'll preach the truth. And he was correct in that. The honesty and sincerity and purpose. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why don't we preach? Why do we stand and proclaim? Do we handle the Word of God honestly? And Paul points out that he has, that he had done that. And then Paul will ask them if he needs an epistle of commendation to them. And he said, for as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in flesh of tables of the heart. He said, that's our epistle. Now, do we need a letter of commendation? Well, there had been some, no doubt, who had come with letters to this church and had presented their letters, and they had been allowed to speak, and they had denounced him. The truth is, Paul had labored among them for a year and a half, and he knew them. When people come into this church that I know, it really would not bother me whether or not we sent for a letter. Certain ones that I know their background, I know basically much of their history, if not all of their history, and I know when they were saved and where they were baptized, and maybe the preacher that even administered the ordinance of baptism then, I, like Paul, could say, I've been around you, I've been among you, and I know you. But then there are times that we'll have somebody who comes, and if we don't know them, and there are usually two questions I'll always ask when folks come forward. One is, do you really know that you trusted Jesus Christ? Can you with honesty tell me that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your Savior? And if they can answer yes to that question, then I'll ask them, were you scripturally baptized in a Baptist church? And this then will sometimes bring out a note of that needs to be corrected. I don't think Penny would mind me using her as an illustration. She was baptized in an interdenominational church. She was accepted into an independent Baptist church. And if we just, without asking any questions, sent for a letter, we would have received a letter for her. But I found something that I believe needed to be corrected. And we dealt with it and corrected it. And I think she was blessed and happy by it. But we need to ask some things. And Paul said, I've been among you, and you know me. Do I need a letter? Well, it'd be rather foolish if I were to come here someday and this church would say, well, we've got to have a letter as though you didn't know me. Paul knew that he had been among them, and they knew him, and he knew them. And that was really the epistle that is known and read of all men. The Corinthian church, again, was his epistle. And Paul came preaching, many believed, and the work of grace in their lives testified to Paul's validity. Most of the time, when God's really working through a ministry, you won't have to ask whether it's of God or not. You'll know it by the effect that it has on your life. Certainly, there have been times that men have preached, and I have been touched by that message, and wouldn't it question my mind, but what God's using at least that man that night to deal in my life, because of what God's Spirit was doing in me and for me. And I understood his ministry was of God. And certainly the work of grace in the lives of these that Paul administered to. Now, we'll notice the nature of this epistle is that it's not written with ink, and it's not written on tables of stone like the law that Moses received in the mount. But it's written with the Holy Spirit, and it's a work in their hearts, and it's a living epistle in verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so it is a living epistle. And then, of course, the purpose of an epistle is to reveal the personality, the loveliness, and the beauty, and the preciousness of Jesus Christ. And certainly, we have what we term Pauline epistles in the New Testament, and they do exactly that. And there were epistles that were living epistles like this that would certainly present the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, an epistle should be understandable. And it ought to be such that we can understand what is being said or written. And if folks live right, that epistle can be understood. There's not a much better and a clearer statement of God's grace than a changed life. One that stood on the other side of the line, drawn by God's Holy Spirit, convicted and saved by God's grace, and standing over here on the right side. That's easily discernible and readable. And Paul said, you are our epistle, known and read of all men. I hope tonight that we take it to heart that we are an epistle, and I hope we're understandable as we walk this pilgrim way, that somebody can see us and realize that, say, there is a difference.